Edition of Sports Club. This is called Code Red. We'll get to why it's called that here in a minute. I am Jeremy the Impact York. Welcome in from Impact Media, of course. Thanks to them and all the many amazing outlets that allow us to come on each and every week and talk all things sports. We're going to change things up a little bit this week. Got a United stuff we want to talk about. We got some Swarm news, plus some updates on our schedule, where you can find us this weekend in case you want to say hello, in case you want to hang out, in case you want to find something fun to do. And I got to get on this NBA topic here in a minute. But first, like I said, I want to change it up. I'm going to start with XFL. I'm going to start with the XFL. And I'm going to start right with the first game. First game out of the blocks, of course, the early game on Saturday was one of the teams that I particularly liked. The LA Wildcats, they traveled to New York to take on the Guardians. It was pretty good game. It ended up being one of the tighter games of the weekend, but it opened up with Matthew McCrane, a 51-yard field goal, put New York up. Handful of minutes. That was actually most of the way through the first. New York's defense was doing pretty good early. It was actually pretty solid most of the day, especially near the goal line. Josh Johnson for LA rushed on a 4th-and-1, and then followed that up by going to Trey McBride a couple plays later for the touchdown. The extra point attempt was no good. 6-3 LA with 3 seconds left in the first. Not bad so far. Of course, this matchup was Josh Johnson versus Luis Perez. Either way, one of the smartest things New York could have done to help solve their issues was put in Perez, because he is their most stable and their better quarterback. Solid New York drive ends with a McCrane 23-yard field goal. McCrane is a good kicker. I'm not just saying that because he seems to win, or he seems to hit a lot of his kicks. Really don't have that has something to do with it, but McCrane's a good solid kicker. That put it tied at 6 with 8:12 left in the half. And New York just had the early momentum just slightly. I mean, it was a 55-45 type deal as far as that. Perez found Mikhail McKay. Pretty cool name there. For the touchdown, of course. Or he found it for the touchdown. New York communication issues were at it again. They took a timeout late in the first half after a touchdown because they were lined up for 1 point and the coach wanted to go for two. And it just didn't seem to be what he wanted to do. So they go ahead and take that timeout. At that point, they put in backup quarterback Williams, who rushed for the two-pointer. I made it 14-6, New York. And the New York rushing game, it was a factor all day. It was very, very solid, very, very good. It gave LA a lot of fits, as these were two teams that desperately needed a win. That took us to the second half. New York had some minor miscues. They started to surface again. LA's Nick Novak had a 48-yard field goal tipped, which made it no good. A couple drives later, Josh Johnson finds Saeed Blacknall for 42-yard gain. It was a also then he turned up and there he was. And then that ended up being a touchdown. Johnson to Smallwood, 2 point was good. That made it 14-14. 5 minutes left in the third. Johnson threw an interception to Jamar Summers with 10 seconds to go in the third quarter. And a 47-yard McCrane field goal made it 17-14 with about 10:52 left in the game. Johnson found Trey McBride down the sideline for 40-plus yard gain. I think it was about 42, remember correctly. Novak, 44-yard field goal was no good. New York wide receiver started dropping the ball like it was hot. Not in a good way, even if Snoop Dogg may have been watching. Plus, when you're up with only about 8 minutes to go, why were you passing? Why are you passing? No reason to be passing there. Plus, Jarrell Owens on the defensive line for New York was a beast. He was hard to difficult to deal with. And then now the Renegades get the run game going again. Kind of the last LA charge there at the end. Just a wild multi-pitch play. Those hardly ever pan out. And 17-14, New York is your final. All right, can't win them all. Although you could argue both those teams needed that. Seattle at St. Louis. Te'amu ends up being the XFL Offensive Player of the Week, I believe, and that will just preface what's going on right now. He found Pearson L with 6:37 to go in the first for a touchdown. Then he found Lucas for the 2-point attempt there, 8-0 St. Louis. Our very own Jake Skinner right here from Impact Media has identified St. Louis as a team that he thoroughly enjoys. Plus, I'll give it to him. Those uniforms do pop. They pop quite a bit. But St. Louis crowd was getting really loud, really loud. St. Louis might be the best crowd in the XFL right now. And that's no like, well, the bar is really low or this default. No, not at all. But their crowd, man, they're a factor. Taylor Russellino, 48-yard field goal is good. Two can kick too. 11-0 St. Louis with 7 seconds to go in the first quarter. Ernesto Lacayo from 41 was good. It actually hit the left upright and then went through. Hey, he called bank. 11-3 at that point. St. Louis still with the lead early in the second. Talmud ground attack was on fire. It was a Russell Wilson type thing where he was either making the passes or if you gave him the run lanes, he was taking what he could get. He was getting 6, 8, 10 yards at a time. Seattle defense got a great stop. Then the roughing the kicker extended the St. Louis drive. You just can't rough the kicker. I understand going forward, sometimes things happen. You just can't do that. Seattle, occasional helmet communication problems. And, on the road, not blaming St. Louis, not blaming the XFL. This thing getting perfect, but it was giving them issues. They were having to take a timeout occasionally or to try to figure out different ways to communicate. Talmu pitched it to Ford for the second for the touchdown, 17-3. St. Louis there with about a minute and a half to go. 17-3 is your halftime score. B.J. Daniels comes in at quarterback for Seattle instead of Silvers. I don't think it was an indictment on Silvers, just you had to give a change up because he was just not having a good day. Wasn't always his fault. Some of it was, but B.J. Daniels came in and kind of got him back on track a little bit. Got Farrow the second short rush touchdown, first touchdown for him and the team, offensive touchdown for Seattle. Daniels rushed 17, made it 17-10. St. Louis still with 8 minutes to go. Russellino good from 38, 20-10 going into the half. The pitch to Keenan Reynolds, who in turn threw it to Prohl for a short gain near the goal line. Remember, Keenan Reynolds was a quarterback at Navy. A very good one at that. But that sets up Daniels to Evan Rodriguez. 3-point no good, 20-16. I guess that right. It would be 20-16 St. Louis at that point, I believe. St. Louis were taking big shots down the sideline, and after a while, they started to really sink in and work. Russellino from 25 was good, 23-16 St. Louis at that point. Daniels threw an interception to Will Hill with about 4 minutes to go. 23-16 St. Louis is your final there. Houston at Dallas, first game on Sunday. He had the Cardale Jones interception. I'm here to tell you, Houston fell off the side of a mountain. Interception went to Cody Brown of Houston. Sergio Castillo from 37 is good. 3-0 Houston with about 8 minutes to go in the first. Landry Jones pass was tipped into an interception by Nichols Jr. Trust me, he wasn't done. He was busy. Castillo from 30 yards out was good. 6-0 Houston. Or not Cardale Jones. Landry Jones, rather. We'll get to Cardale Jones later. Houston 6-0 with about 2 minutes to go there. Jones threw a floater. My goodness, was a floater. An interception for Nichols. That got us into... the second quarter, where P.J. Walker found Nick Holly, The Walker rush for 3 points was good, made it 15 to nothing. Houston at that point. Landry Jones found Parham. Same combo for two as well, 15 to 8. Houston still with the lead there with about 11 minutes to go in the third quarter. Austin McGinnis from 46 yards out was good, 15 to 11. Houston holding on to a narrow lead with about a minute or so left. Castillo from 60 was no good. It was actually returned to about midfield. Hey, you got to go for it sometimes, right? That was that 15 to 11 at the half. You might as well go for that 60. Wasn't that far off. The Walker interception. Smith had that one. Didn't turn into anything to get the ball back. PJ Walker finds Blake Jackson, 21 to 11 at that point. Dunbar rushed for a touchdown. Dunbar, fantastic. Remember, he used to play for the Dallas Cowboys. You guys may remember him. 21 to 17. The 3-point was good. 21 to 20 at that point. Phillip Nelson in at quarterback for Dallas. Landry Jones was sacked. Robinson had the 12-yard return at that point for the touchdown, 27 to 20. Pass tipped again for an interception. It was Gates right at the goal line. And then Landry Jones got a little dinged up, but your final score. Houston Roughnecks 27. Dallas Renegades 20. Houston wins the first battle of Texas. Landry Jones, I think, is going to miss a couple weeks. And we'll find out more after that. He's going to miss a couple weeks. Looks like they're going to roll with some other options. They haven't announced anybody yet, so I don't know what exactly to tell you. Last game on Sunday, the finale. These are getting closer and closer to being primetime games. Cardale Jones versus Taylor Cornelius. They couldn't have played any more different today. And just small disclaimer, one thing I didn't like, and bless her heart, she does good on the sideline, but the sideline reporter who continually asked the most oddball questions to Taylor Cornelius, and then when I guess she didn't get an interesting enough answer, would only ask him one and then just walk off. It's kind of goofy. I'm not going to say annoying wasn't annoying, just kind of goofy. First of all, you're better than that. Second of all, Cornelius, when you get talking to him, I've heard interviews, is actually a pretty good interview. With that being said, Tampa was moving the ball early. They were really just chipping away here and there. Their run game was big early for Tampa. Jaquez Patrick had a touchdown run. De'Evian Smith, the Michigan product, with the 1 yard run is good as well. That is 7-0 Tampa Bay. About 8 minutes to go in the first. The DC offense just had no rhythm up to this point. Just they were getting a couple yards here and there, but there was just nothing they really had going. Cornelius found DeAndre Goolsby, 13-0 there with a little into the second. De'Evian Smith, like I said, the Michigan product. I actually played in the AAF, got to meet him after a game. Super, super good dude. Ty Rossa, 43-yard kick is blocked. On the ensuing drive, Andrew Franks from 45. Then got moved to 40 after a penalty is good. That is 16-0 Tampa Bay. That was your halftime score. Then Franks from 31 is no good. Wide right on that one. Part of the way through the third. DC was just completely uncoordinated. I've never seen a team start so great and then finish so awful in just a 2-week turnaround. Cornelius kind of lobbed one up. It got intercepted at the goal line by Raheem Moore. Yes, that Raheem Moore, who is quite good. He actually jumped the route too. Tavares McFadden interception of Cardale Jones helped set up Cornelius' 17-yard run, which made it 22-0 Tampa Bay. About 4 minutes to go. Four minutes, I believe, in the third. Then Franks from 26 was good, 25-0 Tampa Bay with about 10 minutes to go. Tyree Jackson in at quarterback for DC. He got some good throws in, got some good time in. Then their offensive line blocking was not too good for DC. And 25-0 Tampa Bay. The Vipers just annihilate the DC defenders and make them look awful. Updated standings at this point in the East. You have the St. Louis Battlehawks at 3-1. The DC Defenders at a 2-2 after starting so great. The Guardians at 2-2 and with their first win of the year and an exceptional home debut. You have the second game I think at home. The Vipers at 1-3, only two games separate the top and the bottom there. A little bit different on the other side. Houston leads the West at 4-0. The Renegades are at 2-2 out of Dallas. Really more like 2.5 games back because they did lose to the leader there. The LA Wildcats at 1-3 and the Seattle Dragons at 1-3. The schedule for this week. Saturday at 2 on ABC, you can see the Seattle Dragons take on the Houston Roughnecks. Seattle needs this win big time. You can also at 5 on Fox, that is Big Fox, you can see the New York Guardians take on the Dallas Renegades. On Sunday at 3 p.m., you can see the St. Louis Battlehawks going to D.C. to take on the Defenders. And at 9 o'clock on ESPN, that's a late game. At 9 o'clock, the Tampa Bay Vipers. This is the battle of impact because these are the two teams that I like a little better than the others. The Tampa Bay Vipers are going to travel to LA to take on the Wildcats. That is going to be spectacular. I can't wait. Can't wait. XFL, man, I'm getting excited. I hope you guys get excited about it too. Because I mean, it's fun. Should have some gear coming this way soon. No, I did not pull any special favors or any kind of things like that. I do have friends and fellow business colleagues who work for some of these teams. I promise you, I paid for my stuff. Although, if they want to send us stuff, that's cool. We'll put it right here in the studio and proudly showcase it. We're totally cool buying our own stuff. So, moving on. Let's go Atlanta United. They had the win 2-1 in Nashville in the season opener. Barco and Hinman. God, Hinman, man, he picked that out of nowhere. The play kind of got broken around. The offside flag had come up. So part of the players had stopped playing. Not Hinman. He buried that one. The lone goal for Nashville in their first, not only their home opener, their first game ever, was Walter Zimmerman, who they traded and got earlier in the offseason. What a great pickup. And the unfortunate thing, Joe Marr, as I call him, Joseph Martinez, he got dinged up to start with, decided to keep pushing on, ended up tearing his ACL. He is going to be out for an extended time. We do not know how long at this point. We do not know what options they're looking at outside of putting in. We'll get into that in a second. You could put in Adam John, who was his backup at this point. He is a taller option. You can move Pity Martinez over. You can start shuffling a bunch of people around here and there. I feel like they're going to go get somebody. It will be kind of a one-year rental type deal because Joe Marr will be coming back. And we wish him a speedy and pain-free recovery. That being said, upcoming game for Atlanta United. I think they're going to be fine, guys. There's a lot of big tournaments and big games coming up, and I feel Frank DeBoer is going to do exactly what he needs to do. This Saturday, March the 7th at 7 p.m. on Fox Sports South, a.k.a. Mini Fox, because Baby Fox is FS1. Fox Sports South. They're going to be they're going to host, this is the home opener, FC Cincinnati, who came up a little short in their season debut. And then before we have another show, because that's on the 7th, so before we have another show next Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. against Club America, that will be at Club America. They will take on, Atlanta United will be there. 10:30 kickoff. I, at the moment, don't know where that could be broadcast. If I find out, I will definitely let you guys know. Once again, I feel pretty good about the chances and everything. But I want to talk this one NBA thing real quick, and then I want to finish up about the Georgia Swarm, which will tie into some weekend things. This thing with the Knicks and Spike Lee. I just got to say, I don't get what Dolan is doing. James Dolan, Jimmy Dolan. Oh, it doesn't really matter at this point. I don't get what he's doing. You run off Charles Oakley. You run off Charles Oakley, who has been nothing but a great ambassador for your brand. You ran him off. Now you're running off Spike Lee because the thing he's been doing for the last 28 years, going through a particular entrance, instead of just asking, you are confronting him in a kind of peculiar way. For those who don't know what happened, Spike Lee has always went through the employee entrance, used the employee elevator, and went straight to his seat. Went that way. He's been doing it the whole time. And he was told to get off the elevator. And as he got off the elevator, he was told to get off the elevator and that he would have to go around to another entrance, and was like unceremoniously told this. And when he finally did make it to his seat, owner Dolan shows up. There are pictures of them shaking hands. The Knicks, not Dolan, the Knicks released a statement saying, all is well. We came to the agreement that he will use the other entrance from here on out. Well, Spike, Spike went to a couple shows in the New York, I think the New York Daily News, and said otherwise, and said, first of all, no. And second of all, I won't be back this year. I'm giving my tickets away. This is somebody who pays, I don't know, $30,000 or something, maybe $300,000 a year for the tickets he has. He's one of the most widely known, worldwide, collectively known sports fans, like, seriously, around the globe. Everybody knows Spike Lee is a giant Knicks fan. He might be the only one left. And now you're starting to limit what he can do. Forget anybody, any Cleveland team, forget any other team anywhere there is. The New York Knicks are officially the worst run. The worst run organization in sports. And it's just sad. It's just sad. Nobody can do any dumber things than they've done. And so, Knicks, you get what you get. When nobody shows up, you want to know why you can't get free agents? Because you're idiots. You're idiots. And if this means that I never have any contact with you guys or any kind of, I don't think I'm missing anything. I don't. Really don't think I'm missing anything. But I wanted to end on a higher note. So in entering on a higher note, let's talk about the Georgia Swarm real quickly, where they had the big win 14-7 over Vancouver. Lyle Thompson had 3 goals and 3 assists. Let's see, Shane Jackson had 3 goals and 2 assists as well. Other people that got in on the board, I think it's Zeb Miller, isn't it? No, Zed Williams. But I think it's Zach Miller. Either way, he scored. Hawk had a couple. Zed Williams did have one. Stats had two. Mike Poulin and Orleman with the dual effort for the win. They have a game this weekend where they will face, I believe, the Nighthawks. Do I have that right? I want to make sure I get it right. There's a reason I'm going to get it right. But I know they play this Sunday at 4. And why do I know that? Well, because myself, John Watts, Jake Skinner, and actually a couple other special guests of ours will be in attendance. Will be in attendance for the game. This is hopefully the kickoff for trying to go to as many pro sports this year as we can. Also, Impact on the Road. We're going to be at the Infinite Energy Center. I covered the Swarm a couple years ago where I went to a lot of games. It is one of the best tickets in town. I would put them, I told you United is number one. I would say the Gladiators number two. Swarm are probably three or four. I mean, they're up there. They're definitely up there. I'm pretty sure I can get this to come up right. Or I could pull up the page I already had up, probably. Oh, Philadelphia Wings. That's who they're facing at 4, not the Nighthawks. But 4 o'clock there. Get your tickets at axs.com or go to the box office or your favorite ticket vendor, however you want to do that. But definitely, if on Sunday you want to come check out something really cool, the Infinite Energy Center in Duluth, we'll be there 4 o'clock for the Swarm versus Philadelphia Wings. And on Saturday, actually, I will be at Red Hare. Early in the morning, there is a special 5K that benefits a lot of really cool things. I believe that race kicks off at 8. There is a beer garden and food and activities afterwards. By all means, come by and say hello. Take pictures, post them up. We will send you swag. That's how that works. You can do that on either one of those two things. But Red Hare's 5K event, you don't have to run the 5K. If you want to just go to the beer garden, I believe it's $20. It's way worth that. I would definitely do that if I were not already running. But yeah, come hang out with us Saturday morning. Don't really know how some other things may work after that. We're always up for suggestions as well. You never know where we may be after that. But Saturday and Sunday, that is the two spots that you can find us. Come say hello. Come hang out. We'd love to meet you. Love to talk. I mean, look. Do we know everything about lacrosse? No. But I do know a lot. I know a lot about these players and about the Swarm experience. Come say hello. Talk lacrosse. Come benefit many great things at the 5K. But that's going to do it for us this week. Appreciate everybody tuning in to another great edition of Sports Club entitled Code Red. The Code Red is for the DC Defenders. For the DC Defenders who have fallen off a cliff, and the Code Red is for the Atlanta United who are going to do things without Joe Maurer for a while, and I think they're going to be okay. So for everybody here at Impact Media and all the amazing media outlets that allow us to come on each and every week and talk everything XFL, NFL, lacrosse, some NBA, MLS, all this fun stuff. I am Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys next week. Deuces, gooses.
I got them shaking they boobies like Congos, man. I'm shaking the city like quakes. The haters blow in the face like Gonzo, cause I'm breaking the cake, so let's bake. I'm taking the game's mine. Y'all witness the change, it's my time. Yeah, I'm new to the game, but y'all might wanna say you whack raps, daylight saving time. I can dance, homie, I don't two-step. Y'all looking at something like a true player.